This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
This is Hemant.
And Jessica.
And you're listening to the Friendly Atheist Podcast. Please go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast. How are you?
You know what? I can't complain, Hemant. I finally got a haircut. I'm very excited about that.
Congrats.
How are you?
I'm okay. I was working for the past like hour or so on a crazy story that I want to talk about first, because I have not seen this reported anywhere in the U.S. media. So check this out. The Jehovah's Witnesses have a policy called disfellowshipping. Scientologists have something similar. I think to a lesser extent, Mormons have it as well. But basically, if you are part of their faith, but then you choose to leave it for whatever reason, they're not just like not happy with you, they actively shun you. So if you're an ex-Jehovah's Witness and you're about to get married, your parents are not going to come to your wedding if they belong to the faith. Mm-hmm. Like, I think the thinking behind this is that if we don't have any role in your life anymore because you're an ex-Jehovah's Witness, you're going to come crawling back to us in the future.
Right.
So disfellowshipping people is kind of their way to guilt trip you into coming back.
Right.
Well, a few years ago, a man in Belgium sued the Jehovah's Witnesses for this practice, basically saying that actually violates our anti-discrimination laws, because they don't just say, you know, don't do it in a pressure sort of way. They actively say there's like something inherently wrong with you. That is the thinking that the religion teaches you. And that would not fly in the United States. Religion can allow you to get away with just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
But for a while, this has been going back and forth in Belgium. But this week, they issued a ruling on the matter, and a Belgian court basically fined the Jehovah's Witnesses 12,000 euros. What? And actually, I've heard some stories that say because of a legal thing that's not important, it's actually more like 96,000 euros for inciting hate against people who have walked away from the religion. They violated, you know, the anti-discrimination laws of Belgium.
Okay.
Which is insane to hear any judge say, like, in a, wow, I can't believe they actually did that sort of way. Here's what the judge said. The association, the Jehovah's Witnesses, propagates the exclusion policy to its local faith communities and thereby jeopardizes many pillars of our fundamental rights. At no point did the religious community consider the very adverse consequences for the victims. Religious rules are not above the law in our society. Which is amazing, because I can't remember ever hearing a court in the U.S. saying religious groups cannot get away with whatever it wants.
Right.
So it's like insane. One of the plaintiffs in the case actually said to the judge, she's I think in her mid-60s now. Mm-hmm. She said, I was kicked out when I was 21 because I liked someone who was outside the faith. Mm-hmm. And they basically kicked her. I don't know how serious that was. But she said, they label you as a perpetrator when you are actually the victim. Families are torn apart by that imposed, impossible choice between family and God. And amazing that that actually happened. Just to add a couple other points to this, it's, first of all, 96,000 euro. even if that's what the fine is, mm-hmm. is nothing right. for a religious organization. That's a drop in, like, the ocean. It's nothing. Now, here's the question. Will the Jehovah's Witnesses have 30 days to appeal the ruling? They say they are considering that. If they are stupid enough to appeal the ruling, because they don't want to let any judge get away with this, then, and I've actually heard some of the one of the plaintiffs say, like, please, please appeal, because they can kick it up to a higher court, maybe like the European Union courts, because then this sort of ruling could apply beyond just like Belgium or whatever. So they're kind of hoping the Jehovah's Witnesses keep fighting this. For what it's worth, the Jehovah's Witnesses have responded exactly as you would expect. They're like, we didn't do anything wrong. You're making it a crime to read and follow what the Bible teaches.
You hate to see it.
Which can be used to justify anything. Mm-hmm. They also cited, in a one-page statement, they cited a professor who said the government shouldn't be interfering in the decisions made by adults. But the problem, basically saying these are adults mm-hmm. who made their decisions
right.
because... just because some people decide I want to basically blacklist my own family members, you don't have to like it, but that's their decision. But the problem with that, as many of the former Jehovah's Witnesses pointed out, is they are baptized into the faith before they are legally adults.
Sure.
So they're being punished for leaving the faith because they were baptized into it. They're being punished for a decision they made before they were legally old enough to make that decision for themselves.
Right.
So don't pretend like we had total control over this and like we left and now we have to face the consequences and we don't like it. That's not true. Like, we were baptized into this as kids. Stop punishing us for that.
Can you help me understand? So yeah. is what their... are they saying the Jehovah's Witnesses as a group cannot blacklist individuals?
The way they do it, by not just saying we don't associate with former members of the faith, I think they, I mean, again, this is breaking and I haven't seen a lot of coverage of it, so the nuances are not going to be here. Uh-huh. But I don't think they're just saying don't associate with people who are not part of the faith, which they could probably get away with.
Mm-hmm.
What they're saying is there is something inherently wrong with those people who have left the faith, and you should absolutely not. Like, it's putting a black mark on a certain group of people in a way that goes into discrimination, and not just, we have some religious rules you have to obey.
Okay.
If you're gay and you're Catholic, you must be celibate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not discrimination. They're saying this is kind of our policy.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to like it, but that's what we are saying. That's not something... they're getting, that's not a problem for the courts. Uh-huh. That's gotcha. Just a religious rule. You don't have to abide by it if you don't want to follow the faith. This goes beyond that. So I think that's the reason this is such a big deal. And again, it's small potatoes right now. We're talking very little money. It's not going to affect the Jehovah's Witnesses, but symbolically, it's a big deal. And it could be a bigger deal if they want to keep fighting this. So I don't know. It's one of those, this could be big. And there's finally a result. It's not just people fighting in court over something. I think a lot of people assume court's just going to throw it out. They're not going to issue anything, any ruling on this. Nope, they did. So, wow.
Yeah, that's really surprising. That is not a thing that can or will happen in the U.S. anytime soon.
Let's talk about the Catholic Church this week, because they issued a statement. Ooh. They issued a statement this week basically reminding everybody the church is not okay with same-sex marriage.
Do you have any idea what sparked this?
Yeah. what happens, there's a part of the Vatican called the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith, which is better known as the part of the Vatican that did the Inquisition. And basically, they were just responding to a question that was proposed. Someone asked, does the church have the power to give the blessing to unions of persons of the same sex?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it's one of those, people are asking this, we just want to settle the question, like, in an official capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the response. Negative. That is the entirety of their official response, and then there's a very long, like, footnote.
The word negative?
The word negative.
Okay.
Yeah. Then there's an explanatory note basically saying everything you read in the catechism still applies. We still believe homosexual acts are, quote, intrinsically immoral and contrary to the natural law, and that homosexual tendencies are objectively disordered. That's in the catechism. That's in the Catholic Church's rule book. They basically said, yeah, just look at the rules. We're still not cool with your gay marriage. Yep. We don't care. I'm saying this. The church is saying, we don't care what Pope Francis has said. We know he has said in some interviews he supports civil unions, which mm-hmm. is the legal rights for gay couples. Mm-hmm. But the church is not blessing your relationships. We still oppose it. Here's specifically what the Vatican said. It is not licit, it's not okay, to impart a blessing on relationships or partnerships, even stable, that involves sexual activity outside of marriage. Blah, blah, blah. It's not ordered to the Creator's plans. And then they added, God, quote, does not and cannot bless sin. Which is kind of weird to hear from the Catholic Church, because if anyone knows about sinning and being able to get away with that, like,
yeah, once again, we find ourselves in the Catholic Church with, like, this very laser-like focus on the gay community, in spite of the fact that the Bible says very little about the fact that it's a sin. Like, they're really gonna cling to this one until the whole ship goes down, huh?
Yeah, they have so many opportunities to say, look, we've been misinterpreting
right.
it. God wasn't wrong, but man was wrong. They could have done it as so many Christian denominations have.
And the thing is, I think if they had done it like that, of like, oh, we just found these new Dead Sea Scrolls that say something different. And I genuinely think that like 90% of the world would like do the thing you do to little kids. Like, oh, you did? Okay, well then we can start. Then we will let gay people get married in the Catholic Church. That sounds like, I don't think they would get that much pushback. Everyone would be like, okay, well, who cares how you got here, but you've arrived in the right. 21st century.
The Dead Sea Scroll, everyone. The little scrap of paper says not. Sorry, everybody.
Oh, missed shoot. It. God hates figs.
Remember that, I know we've said this before, 73% of practicing Catholics, at least in the U.S., mm-hmm. say they support same-sex marriage.
You said 70?
73% of practicing American Catholics say they are fine with it. I mean, again, if you want to say those people are not real Catholics, you can, but just realize you're saying that to the vast majority of people who actually line the pews and donate money to the church. But it's another reminder that the secular world is a more moral place. It has mm-hmm. higher moral standards than the Catholic Church, which I know I'm a broken record on this. If you are a practicing Catholic at some point, why do you still support them? Why do you still give them money when this is the way they are treating the easiest moral questions of our time?
Right.
Like, you have a choice. I know there are things beyond belief in God and a, inherent love for the church because it was a part of your life growing up. I know there are things that draw people to the Catholic Church that go beyond, I believe in this stuff.
Right.
But at some point, what's the deal breaker for you? If it's not stuff like this, clearly it's not sexual abuse scandals.
Right.
It's not the stance on marriage equality. It's not their denial that trans people exist.
Right.
Like, at what point do you decide it's gone too far? Because all of these people who are still Catholic, like, they're proud of it. And they shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what's kind of interesting that's happened, and I'm curious what the sort of the fallout of this is going to be, because apparently there's a group of Roman Catholic priests in Austria, I think. Yeah, Austria. And I can't find their name for some reason, but they're a group that is basically pro-gay rights within the Catholic religion.
I believe it's called the Parish Priests Initiative. But I think you're right. They are fighting to say, we're cool with it, and we're priests. Like, we're fine with gay marriage.
Yeah.
So, But again, it's, I don't know what power they have. They can do all this stuff where they're like, we let gay members into our church. We let gay couples in our church. We'll give them communion, but, which is such low-hanging fruit.
Didn't this kind of happen with Southern Baptists that they sort of broke in half? Was it Southern Baptists or was it somebody
else? The Methodist Church is currently going through a schism over a similar thing that, weirdly enough, has been delayed by COVID. The schism has been postponed for a little longer.
All right, guys, stay in your spots. Mark where you're standing. We'll come back in a year.
Yeah.
But yeah, these guys said, we, the member of the Parish Priests Initiative, I guess I could have found that title if I'd looked a little harder, are deeply appalled by the new Roman decree that seeks to prohibit the blessing of same-sex couples, which I don't know if that's an accurate statement. It's not a new decree. It's just like a reminder, right?
Yeah, it's a reminder.
This is a relapse into times we had hoped to overcome with Pope Francis. We will, in solidarity with so many, not reject any loving couple in the future who asks to celebrate God's blessing, which they experience every day, also in a worship service.
Like, that's fine. Have solidarity with same-sex couples. But again, just to be clear, those couples will not be allowed to, like, have a wedding in the Catholic Church, which is the Catholic Church's prerogative.
Right.
But let's not pretend like these priests are saying, we oppose the bigotry of our church. By the way, we are going to remain in our church.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, I know what side you're on. I don't care what you say. You're not changing it. And I don't get the love for Pope Francis here. I know he has said nice things rhetorically about gay people. Who am I to judge? All that sort of stuff. There was, in the list of things that didn't age well, there was a cover of the LGBTQ publication, The Advocate, years ago when he was first elected. And he said the who am I to judge thing, where they announced him like ally of the year or something. Like, person of the year in the gay community is Pope Francis. It's like, dude, what are, and that was the reaction from everybody at the time. But again, he's right there with them. This is what he supports. He's the one saying, no, gay marriage is not okay in the church.
Right.
He will, but that's not what he says out loud. He'll say, gay people are awesome. Dude, go ahead, finish the sentence. Mm-hmm. Nope, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, he is not your friend here. He's not good on this issue. Well, and the people who want to like him are prone to say, no, he's cool with it. No, he's not.
And I understand the instinct of, if you have spent your life or your adult life trying to reconcile your sexuality, which is a part of you and absolutely natural, with your religious beliefs, as soon as, you know, Pope Francis kind of cracked the door that, like, I don't think gay people should be murdered in this street, they're like, yes, finally, fine, and just are, like, grabbing everything they can. But they're, I mean, and I get it. Like, if your Catholicism is important to you, it must be extremely troubling to be reminded day after day and week after week that, like, oh, you're actually super not wanted here. So it makes sense that they saw, I wonder if they were just trying to, like, strong arm Pope Francis is like, hey, everyone loves you. You should love gay people too. Like, we're gonna throw you a parade. You wanna endorse gay people as existing? That would be so great. But yeah, it's
nope.
And nope. I think I am willing to guess that post Pope Francis, whenever we lose him or he steps down, I do not think we will get another like cool liberal pope. I bet we're going to go back. I bet the pendulum is going to swing a little bit back towards more, mm-hmm. a more conservative pope. So I think if Pope Francis has kind of driven the nail into that coffin, so to speak, I do not think we're going to see much movement from
the
Catholic Church.
He's like the Joe Manchin of the Catholic Church. Like, sometimes
he's just like that.
He kind of does the right thing, so you tolerate him. But like, at the end of the day, he's not really your friend.
Yeah. And like, it's a lot of, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, but maybe I won't. And also, I think the filibuster is cool, so I don't think Pope Francis has as strong an opinion on the filibuster, though.
Oh my God, we're so screwed. Charlie Kirk. Remember there was a Falkirk Center at Liberty University, and it was the dumbest thing ever created?
Uh-huh.
The Falkirk Center for Faith and Liberty was created by Jerry Falwell Jr. and Charlie Kirk, the conservative activist, and they named it after themselves because they're very cocky. The Falkirk Center, and then Jerry Falwell had a scandal of all crazy kinds, and then it's like, okay, he's gone. We've covered that story to death. But also, why is it still called the Falkirk Center? Because Fall is gone. Well, guess what they did this week? They basically made
the Kirk Center.
They announced this week, oh yeah, a while back we decided to fire Charlie Kirk. We didn't tell anybody this publicly, but we didn't renew his contract for another year. That's the way they phrased it. We didn't renew his contract. We are basically going in another direction, which means of Fall and Kirk, neither are part of it.
Are they renaming it?
Yes, they are. The Falkirk Center will now be known, wait for it, the Standing for Freedom Center.
Oh my God, do they get a boner every time they say the word freedom?
Yes, I can't believe they did not add the word family to it.
I know.
So they took like this unique, stupid name and they replaced it with a very generic, stupid name. But also,
it's going to be terrible on SEO. Like, they need to talk to marketing professionals before they pull shit like this.
How do you have a think tank with the dumbest people and then say, we can't have you here?
Okay.
Somehow that made it smarter. How do you have a think tank that loses its namesakes and it gets better?
Okay, I have an important question, and it might belie my ignorance, but what is a think tank?
What is a Liberty University think tank or a regular think tank?
I would take an answer to either.
Okay, I'll answer your question.
Because they both sound like rich white people bullshit.
Let me ask you this. Can you think of anything the Falkirk Center has accomplished in the year and a half since they've existed?
They managed to make two human beings disappear.
That is the only good thing they've
done.
That
might be proof of God.
So they haven't, as far as I can tell, they've posted some memes on Facebook.
Well, so do I. Am I a think tank?
You are. They've also created a new resume booster on a bunch of right-wing names. And according to reporting that was done by Politico, I believe, they funneled money to Donald Trump's campaign last year.
Sure.
Which is not a thing think tanks can do. Anyway, regular think tanks as they exist, which is a elitist kind of terminology for what groups do, but basically there are right-wing, left-wing think tanks who basically say, for example, you know, how can we fix poverty? How can we do that? I'll give you an example of that. Some of them might say, we want to do a universal basic income. Mm-hmm. Let's give everyone a set amount of money. But in order to tell politicians you should do this, sure, you could have researchers who actually do an experiment with it, but think tanks actually do the work of saying, this is what it would look like if you did this. This is, we have spent months hashing out what would happen if you passed a universal basic income. We've written a paper on it with all the details a politician might want, and they will try to get that to the politicians at the state level, at the national level, basically saying, look, we've done all the work for you if you have any questions about it. We're not an advocacy group per se. We're saying we care about this issue. We know everything about it inside and out. So if you have questions on poverty or climate change or any issue you could think of, come to us. We have the experts here.
Would one solution for poverty be don't funnel money towards stupid, pointless projects and give it to people who need to eat?
Yes, you should start a think tank. But again, that's what most think tanks kind of do. They produce these papers. They have these experts who basically get paid to advance the work of the cause they are supporting. And think tanks inherently are not good or bad. It depends on who they're bringing on board. Where are they getting their money from? Like, is there inherent bias to what they're doing? I don't know. It depends. There are good ones and bad ones. But the Liberty University one did not produce any white papers, like just in examining some policy decision. They didn't publish any like in peer-reviewed publications. There were no articles. Like, if you go to their website, good luck finding a list of all the stuff they accomplished. And now Liberty University, which I want to just reiterate, it promotes creationism, it censors student journalists, it gave a giant stage to the MyPillow guy. They've now decided the affiliation with Charlie Kirk and Jerry Falwell is kind of embarrassing, so they don't want to do that anymore.
This far, no further.
Yeah. So, hilarious to me that Charlie Kirk got kicked out of a think tank named for Charlie Kirk.
I also love this, like, that these people are so obsessed with rallying against cancel culture, and all they fucking do is cancel shit.
They canceled each other. It's great. It's great. Do you know CNN anchor Don Lemon?
I do.
Yeah, he came out with a book this week. I don't know what it's about, but he was on The View promoting it. And of course, they're asking him about current events. And they asked him, the ladies of The View asked Don Lemon, hey, what do you think about the Catholic Church and what they said about same-sex relationships and not endorsing it? Don Lemon is gay. He's in a same-sex marriage. And here's what he said. Tell me if anything in here sounds bad to you. The Catholic Church and many other churches really need to re-examine themselves and their teachings, because that's not what God is about, .. I would say to the Pope and the Vatican and all Christians or Catholics, go out and meet people and try to understand people and do what the Bible and what Jesus actually said, if you believe in Jesus, and that is to love your fellow man and to basically judge, not lest ye not be judged, whatever the phrasing is. So that's kind of what he said. Not really controversial. He said some version of it before. It's a very, like, if you're Christian, then be nicer. That's kind of his shtick. It's very, like, anodyne, and I don't actually care for the religious part of it, but whatever. There's nothing wrong with what he said. You would think most people listening to that would say, yeah, if we're Christian, we should be less judgmental. That's what our faith teaches, whatever. So the Illinois Family Institute, a Christian hate group, they got furious at what Don Lemon said.
So mad.
Because he said, we should love our fellow man. And that, how dare you say that's what Jesus said.
I can't think of anything worse.
Yeah, they're so mad at this idea of tolerance. Here's what I'm going to quote. With pomposity, scorn, and nastiness, leftists regularly judge theologically orthodox Christians. If Christians believe what God's word says about sexuality, they are called ignorant, intolerant, hateful bigots, or worse. Basically, it boiled down to how dare you tell us to stop being intolerant of our intolerance, thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, this is a really good look.
How do you have a Christian saying we should all be nicer because that's what Jesus taught us to do, and then you have a right-wing group saying that is not what our religion teaches? Like, man, that is peak
it's so embarrassing. Like, it's all just self-owns. It's so fucking, like, they say that, like, oh, liberals are offended by a rapist skunk or whatever, and they're like, you told me to love people? How fucking dare you? Oh,
don't cancel God like that.
It's stupid.
Let's talk about this Georgia massage parlor shooter. I know there's a lot we still don't know about the guy, but what's coming out about him is that he, as far as this podcast is concerned, he was, as far as we know, pretty involved with his church community. Mm-hmm. You cannot blame the shooting on the guy's, like, lack of religion.
Right.
You could say lack of morality, sure, but it wasn't a lack of religion. Just to go over some of the details that have come out, the Daily Beast quoted somebody he went to high school with who said he was always into God. This is the quote from the Daily Beast, from the anonymous student. His father was a youth minister or pastor. He was big into religion, speaking of the shooter. Mm-hmm. A neighbor of the family told the Washington Post, they come across as a good Christian family. The family attended a church in Milton, Georgia, called Crabapple First Baptist Church, which describes itself as an autonomous local church that is in friendly cooperation with the Southern Baptist Convention. Mm-hmm. Just to be clear, the shooter's dad is not listed as a pastor there. I don't know where that kid was getting that information from. The church has taken down its website, but one of the things people noticed on their Facebook page before it was taken down is that as recently as 2018, they had posted something on Facebook celebrating the shooter, saying how he had been baptized and born again and discussing his Christian journey. He filmed a little video talking about how he was born again, and they posted it on their Facebook page saying, look, one of our own just like found God.
Mm-hmm.
And the shooter, now shooter, said at the time, by the grace of God, I'm trying to skip through the junk here. I was able to draw the connection. I realized this is a story between what happened with me and God. I ran away living completely for myself, and he still wants me, and so that's when I was saved. Whatever. But he said that in late 2018,
mm-hmm.
and now roughly 2.5 years later, he's committing horrific crimes based on whatever his motivation was, whether it was anti-Asian hate, whether it was sex. Excuse they want to give to this guy. But to be clear, as far as I've seen, the church leaders, like the current church leaders,
mm-hmm.
they're not hiding the fact that this was a member of their congregation. They say they are working on expunging him from their official list, whatever that means.
Cool. That'll bring those people back to life.
I know. I don't want to put unnecessary burden on the pastors of that church, who, as far as I've seen, have said everything you would expect them to say, mm-hmm. and like nothing suggesting they're defending anything. They're not pretending he's not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they seem to be as shocked as everyone else is by the fact that they knew this family and this happened like to their shock. So I don't want to blame the church for what this guy did. I do want to point out that being a part of this church did not stop whatever he was doing, which is a point I think it's worth making, which is you don't have to blame the Southern Baptist for what he did, being a Southern Baptist and being an involved member of the church community did not stop him. Those two things are not like mutually exclusive. You can be in a religious community
mm-hmm.
and be a horrible person. And sometimes that line is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, I'm sure there are people who are going to find a reason to try to not make that clear.
Right.
But like, religion is not a virtue. I'm not blaming Southern Baptist for what he did, but it didn't stop him either. And I think like, just don't blame a lack of religion when something goes wrong. But you can't pretend like being part of a church would prevent something like this, because it's so easy for conservatives to be like, this guy needed more God in his life. No. He had plenty of God. That wasn't the issue.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times churches sort of present themselves as this place that's like part family, part therapist, part morality instructor. And the reality is like they can't occupy all of those things. Like like having a church in your community is not a substitution for having like mental health care, because that's not their job, nor should it be. I also want to talk about Jay Baker, who's a spokesperson for the Captain Jay Baker. So sorry.
No longer a spokesperson, by the way.
Oh, you don't say. I wonder why.
Yeah. The police department said, we're not going to let him speak for us anymore.
And that's the police department. So they're discussing what happened. And as of this recording, you know, like, I think we can add two and two together and see that this man killed 6 Asian women and, you know, 8 people total.
He went to alleged suspect, but he did confess to doing it.
And he went to 3 different Asian spa locations to carry out what he was doing. So, like, it's hard to find a way that this wasn't a hate crime against both Asian people and women in general. But Jay, Captain Baker, said, yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did. Which says to me that all men are one bad day away from murdering me. And so when men say, not all men, and they're like, oh, so you think all men are garbage because this one guy did a thing? Well, apparently in this society, it don't take much for you to go from, like, my buddy or the guy who rides on my bus to my murderer. So, like, yeah, keep your fucking distance from me, men in general, because I can't trust any of you.
The police department.
You keep killing us.
The police department said, yeah, this guy's not speaking for us anymore. I've heard the mayor of Atlanta, which is nearby these locations, say, like, look, I'm not defending that guy. Her interpretation of what he said is he was trying to relay what the accused murderer said to him, as opposed to justifying it himself. Mm-hmm. But also, it's not like he made anything. It's not like he said, I'm just going to quote what he said here so the media knows. I'm not suggesting that's a good answer. No, if you watch the video, the way he said it, it felt very sympathetic toward, this is what he said, and I want to tell you all, like, he was having a bad day. Like, even if you were quoting him, you could have said, like, obviously that's not a justification. He didn't say that, which is why it was such a weird thing and to hear.
But apparently, reportedly, he told the police that he was, quote, pretty fed up, and, quote, at the end of his rope at the time of his crimes, quote, he made indicators that he had some issues, potentially sexual addiction, and may have frequented some of these places in the past, and that he may have been lashing out, and that he saw those massage parlors as a, quote, temptation for him that he wanted to eliminate. So this is the logical conclusion of telling women if you didn't dress slutty, you wouldn't get raped.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is, men are so deeply unable to control themselves and their penises that some men see their option as, I have to murder these women, otherwise I'm going to want to fuck them. Like, and everybody in this, like, police force is like, oh, reasonable. I get it, buddy. I can't keep chocolate in the house because I'll eat it all. You can't, like, be near Asian women or you'll fuck them. Kill them all. I get it. My sympathies.
I've seen a lot of conversation from ex-evangelicals online basically saying, we don't know what the motivation is officially. We've heard this hearsay, but what they've said is, when you grow up in a church culture like the one he goes to, that teaches you there's something wrong with sexual temptation, mm-hmm. that there's something wrong with premarital sex, when there's something wrong with masturbation, when there's something wrong with having those thoughts in general, and you were taught to repress it and fight back against it, where you see sex work. And by the way, I don't even know or think that the massage parlor is in question. I think one of the sons of the victims is like, it wasn't that kind of parlor. Like, I don't know what the case is there. So, but the idea that this person would say they were doing something sexual, therefore they needed to be stopped, like you said, as if they're the problem and not him, as if, you know, if he had healthier ways to deal with his temptations, which churches, evangelical or conservative or Baptist churches, do not give you that option.
Right.
Because it's all sin all the time. Like, they, the people online were basically saying, like, we see the direct link here. The church needs to change how it talks about sex, how it teaches people about sex, how it blames women for the sexual thoughts of men.
Yep.
And if that's not, like, that would be a valid thing for churches to do in response to this crime. They won't.
Well, I'd like to talk about this this philosophy that we hear a lot from right-wing Christians of, like, what is it? If a man looks at a woman with lust, he's already committed adultery in his heart or something
That's the Old Testament Bible verse right there.
Did I quote it accurately?
Close enough.
Good for me.
Yep.
I think that, like, besides being generally dangerous and putting the onus on women to not, quote unquote, tempt men by, like, existing and having boobs and stuff, the problem is that sort of makes the act of, like, seeing somebody and thinking they're hot and fucking somebody out of wedlock virtually the same, right? Like, they are both sins, and, like, sometimes they rank sins, but frequently, like, a sin's a sin's a sin.
Right.
And so
all sins are bad, some are bad. So all sins are equal, some are more equal than others.
Right, exactly.
Some version of that.
And so maybe if we just teach young men that, like, sometimes you're gonna see a person and think they're attractive, and, like, that's okay, even if you're married, even if you're in a relationship, even if you're celibate, it's okay to have thoughts because thought policing is not great. And that way lies madness. And that this is the manifestation of it, right? Like, if he thinks these women are causing him to sin just by merely existing, then, yeah, he might as well commit the sin of murder because at least it, like, lowers his sin score because every time he's... It's just...
Yeah, the idea that that would be a rational response to sinning because it would... Killing people would stop him from sinning even more, which is
truly wild. So, yeah, it's disappointing. Of course, I, like, was trolling around on, like, the WGN Facebook group, and every single person was like, prove that it's a hate crime! And, like, I'm really feeling down on humanity this week, actually.
Yeah, there's always reason to be.
Thank you.
Let me give a shout-out. It's because this is a good time. I'll give a shout-out to our sponsor. Our sponsor is Stardust Science, which was founded by the 15-year-old secular activist and author Bailey Harris. When Bailey was younger, she was watching Cosmos on TV, and she heard Neil deGrasse Tyson talk about how the planets and the stars and the galaxies and all of us, we are made from the same star stuff. And she wanted to share that concept with her classmates because she found it so interesting. So she wrote a book called My Name is Stardust. It's a great book. I have copies of it. My kids like it. A new special edition of the book came out recently with a foreword by Richard Dawkins. Beautiful pictures, easy to read. Teaches kids about the Big Bang, evolution. Meant to inspire a love of science and the universe and get a sense of awe. And if you go to stardustscience.com, use Friendly Atheist for 10% off. You could use that for anything, or just click on the link in the show notes. I want to bring up, I'm debating which of these stories I want to do just so we don't run out of time. This one struck me as very weird and surprising. Okay. Bob Jones University is a private Christian school. They don't make the news a lot these days, but this week its president, Steve Pettit, basically, I'm going to paraphrase here, he basically said, listen, you don't hear me talk about political issues very much, but I'm going to use my platform to talk about something very important. Mm-hmm. And he was basically denouncing the Equality Act, which has passed in the House. It is awaiting debate in the Senate, or it's being debated in the Senate. And what it would do is it would extend civil rights laws to apply to LGBTQ people. That would mean it would prevent anti-LGBTQ discrimination in areas like employment and housing and education. So, of course, conservative Christians are opposed to that because they want those people to be discriminated against in all those areas. So here's what Pettit said. Under the Equality Act, many religious colleges, such as BJU, yep, that's what they are, that participate in federal grant programs would be forced to adopt sexual orientation and gender identity ideology, or else lose the federal grants currently available to their students. That's not necessarily true. Like, some private organizations and religious organizations that get money, they may still be able to, like, uphold their faith statements. Like, if you get money for your private school, you can still hire people and say you got to sign a faith statement. But if you are saying we're going to run a hospital that operates on taxpayer money, also we discriminate against trans people. We don't do any certain, we won't do this operation for trans people, even though we do it to other people. Like, they can discriminate as it stands. That's what we're trying to stop. This guy is saying under the Equality Act, Christian colleges would be forced to hire professors and accept students who are unwilling to abide by biblical sexual standards, which, one, is not true, and two, how is that your thing that you, like, who cares about trans people being kicked out of their house?
Yeah.
But I got to police your sex life. So anyway, he's exaggerating how the Equality Act would affect Christian schools. It wouldn't. They want it explicitly said, if you're religious, we're not even going to touch you, basically. But the thing that was amazing, because what he said is not weird in the conservative marketplace of whatever you would call ideas. I've heard plenty of religious organizations saying exactly what he's saying. But coming from Bob Jones University, this is especially weird because this is the school that was famous for not accepting black students until the 70s.
Oh, Jesus.
They banned interracial dating until 2000. And that's only because George W. Bush decided to make a campaign stop there, and everyone's like, dude, George, you can't campaign there. They have an interracial, they have an interracial dating ban. Like, we don't want that to come off on you. Yeah. And the school's like, all right,
we'd
fine.
Hate George W. Bush to look like an idiot.
The school decided to get rid of its interracial dating ban only after that controversy. And by the way, they refused to observe Martin Luther King Jr. Day as a holiday until guess when? Guess
tell
when?
Tell me.
2017. So the
Stop. Yeah, what made them change their mind? Like, what was the tipping point? What happened in 2017?
I think ultimately even the students at BJU were like, this is not something even we can defend, and we're horrible people.
It's weird they said it. I can't believe they acknowledged it.
I'm pretty sure that was the press release. But, like, the school that is known for only one thing, which is being against civil rights when it's long overdue,
right,
just came out with a statement saying, we would like you to know we oppose civil rights. And it's like, yeah, dude, we know.
In case you forgot, we're still pretty terrible. Don't forget, guys, we want to stay on that front page.
This happened in Montana this week. Ooh, and
my stomping grounds.
Yeah, they have a moment of silence bill for public schools, which is stupid, but it's probably not illegal. They can get away with it. Here's what
don't understand small government. And then, hey, let's focus on whether people can talk at a certain time or not. This is very stupid.
As it stands, if you are in, I believe, grade 7 through 12, you have to say the pledge once a week. What?
What?
Yeah. What this new law...
Do you have a punch card?
Yes. What HB 543 would do in Montana is it would force all K through 12 students, even the older ones, to say the pledge every day, and then it would allow districts to follow the pledge with a moment of silence, for no reason. That's it. Have a moment of silence to just stand there and not learn. That's what they do in Montana. It's stupid. It's a waste of time.
Yeah.
But it's probably not illegal because you're allowed to just waste kids' time. But here's what I found interesting. There's an amendment to the bill added by a Republican representative named Scott Kearns that says it would add one line to the bill. Right now it says the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America must be recited in all public schools of the state and may be followed by a moment of silence. The amendment would add this line. This may include a moment of silent prayer.
Okay, thank you for giving me permission to pray inside my own noggin while everyone else is being quiet.
Yeah,
thank you.
They had to specify how someone could be silent.
You also could practice reciting all the digits of pi.
You could.
You could see if you can name all the presidents in order. You could try to name the alphabet backwards.
But here's the thing. They did not say any of those things, but they did say one thing you could do is pray.
Oh, I know. Wink, I had this moment of silence. I might pray, but you do whatever you want. This is just my crazy thoughts.
Here's the thing. You could take out that line about prayer. That this may include a moment of silent prayer. You could take that out. It would still not change a thing, because when you say you can have a moment of silence, it's implied that you can do whatever you want during it. So anyway, during the House debate over this bill this week in Montana, someone asked the sponsor of the bill, whose name is Bob Phelan. They basically said, why are we doing this amendment? And he could have just said, I don't know, it's not mine. Like, do what you want. We don't need it.
Uh-huh.
He did not say that. Here's some of what he said. And there is video, which we will link in the show notes. Well, I think it was 50 years ago they took God out of school. Maybe it's not quite 50, but close. But anyway, you could see what kind of hell our country is going through right now. ... I just think it's time to get God back in school in some form or fashion. ... I was asked where I got this idea, and it was listening to the David Barton and Rick Green series.
That motherfucker.
That motherfucker.
I like, hate David Barton.
Not only did he quote a Christian pseudo-historian,
right.
He basically admitted, we just want to push Jesus into schools. Like, that's why we're doing this. Like, dude, you're not supposed to say that. So if anyone wants to sue the state of Montana, if they pass this bill, and someone's going to say, the wording of the bill does not specify you have to pray to Jesus, we can just quote the sponsor of the bill during a public committee hearing who said, this is totally about getting God, my God, back in school. Like, well, what are you doing?
And I really like his proposition that, like, yeah, 50 years ago, our schools went to shit before that. It was paradise. Like, right. LOL, you had to send the SWAT team in so a little black back girl could go to school. So, like, maybe let's not harken back too fondly on those days.
Back to, you know, when schools were segregated, things were great, and then atheists came along.
Stupid and by the busing. Way,
they did not take God out of schools. No. They took forced Bible readings out of schools and said, you could just do this on your own time. Mm-hmm. You could still pray. You could still bring a Bible to school. No one you could still have Bible clubs after school. No one is stopping you. And that somehow became shorthand in conservative Christian bizarro world too. They took God out of school. That's not what happened. Anyway, that's happening in Montana. That I don't know if that amendment will go through, but if it does, a lot of church state lawyers are going to be very excited. They'll have some work in front of them. In Florida, here's another bill. Unnecessary, but it's happening. Let me give you some backstory before I tell you what's going on now. Okay. A couple of years ago, there was a state football championship. And any state that has a big football, high school football scene knows that you can't pit like the biggest schools in the state, which have the cream of the crop in terms of athletes to choose from, against tiny schools that kind of take everyone on who wants to play for the team. Mm-hmm. So they separate them into, like, you know, small school divisions, middle-sized school divisions. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, one of the lower divisions in Florida a couple years ago happened to involve two small private Christian schools. They were allowed to be part of the public school, like, tournament, because that's fine. That all states do something like this. Mm-hmm. So when they made it to the Class 2A football playoffs, they made it to the championship game, these two private Christian schools. Mm-hmm. But before the game, one of the school's administrators said, hey, since we're playing in this football stadium where all these people are watching because it's the state championship for our division, can we say a prayer over the public address system? Mm-hmm. And the Florida High School Athletic Association said, you can't do that. This is a state-run event. Mm-hmm. It is televised. It's a public facility. Just because you are two Christian schools does not negate any of that.
Right.
So you can't do it. So the schools eventually filed a lawsuit.
Oh, good.
This has been going on for years. And basically, a judge tossed out the case in 2017 because, of course, what they wanted was illegal.
Basis were they suing? Like, what?
They said you're discriminating against our faith by not letting us hijack the public school system, I guess.
Oh, these
and
people.
In 2019, an appellate court reversed part of the ruling, saying there's some merit on the case and you got to judge it on some legal technicality. And it's actually still in the courts, in the lower court's hands to deal with it. Whatever. That's where this is all coming from.
Okay.
So here's the law that, is being sponsored in the state of Florida by state reps Webster Barnaby and Clay Yarborough. It's HB 1027, if anyone is interested. And what it would say is any school participating in a high school championship contest, basically the playoffs of any high school state competitive athletic team, students at those schools, each school, would have, quote, the opportunity to make brief opening remarks, if requested by the school, using the public address system at the event. Such remarks may not be longer than 2 minutes per school. The Athletic Association may not control, monitor, or review the content of the remarks, ..
Hemant, the stakes could not be lower. What the fuck is going on?
So here's what it means in theory. Let's say there's a playoff basketball game. If the schools want to do it, they can take over the PA system for up to 2 minutes and say whatever they want. Which, just to be clear, there's nothing in this bill that would stop a student getting to the loudspeaker and saying, hello, Jews, Muslims, atheists, I just want you to know you are going to hell unless you accept Jesus Christ. There's nothing stopping a Satanist from declaring welcome to hell, everybody. I don't know. I don't know what they would do because they wouldn't do shit like this. You could have a Muslim student leading the crowd in prayer to Allah and get all the backlash that would come with it. But, like, again, that wouldn't happen. They could also say, hey, gay people, you're going to burn in hell. There's nothing stopping it if this bill passes. And here's what they would do to make it neutral on the surface. The schools would say, we didn't say prayer in this bill. We just said you could say whatever you want.
We would never say prayer. We hate praying.
In the schools that would do something like this, they might say, we're going to have a vote. Who on our team should represent the team and speak? And they would elect a Christian because it's a popularity contest. And the Christian could get there and say a prayer to Jesus and imply that everyone else is going to hell for eternity. They could do that. That's what this bill is meant to allow them to do.
Right.
But think of the problems it would create. Because we all know this is not about, like, generic, inclusive prayers.
No.
They basically want to hijack this for conservative Christian schools to tell everyone Jesus or burn.
Well, I mean, in my day, we knew that you should not allow any teenagers to be on any public speaking implements ever because they'll inevitably yell Baba Booey or like penis or something like that because teenagers are idiots.
This bill would allow that.
But like...
And give them the opportunity to do that.
Who is going to a high school football game and like drinking their cocoa and whatever? Because like, I don't know, when you were in high school, did you participate in sporting thing? Like, did you go to like homecoming football games?
In the band for a year. Does that count?
You played an instrument?
No, I really didn't.
Wait, what did you
play? But I was in band.
Why were you in band?
I played trumpet for like a year.
I played trumpet for like four years.
It's the coolest one. And then I'm like, what am I doing? And then I stopped.
Yeah, I didn't even make it up to high school. I hated it so much. but I was a singer. Anyway, So I used to go to like my high school football games, my college football games. Like the last thing I want to do when I'm like, you know, wearing my like Hinsdale South shirt or my Ball State hoodie or whatever is like hear somebody on those fucking terrible sound speakers just like, hey, everybody, I want to thank you. What am I going to do? Like, nobody's going to be able to understand you. Nobody's going to listen to you. What exactly are we trying to accomplish? Have you ever wanted, like, have you, Hemant, you are a high school speech teacher. Do you want to hear more children speaking more frequently or less frequently?
It's all I want at all times.
Like, I just don't.
But again, there's nothing stopping the athletes from praying before a game on their own. There's nothing stopping the crowd that comes to see the game from praying on their own. They could all do it on the drive to the school. Like, this isn't about that. This is about performative prayer.
Right.
That's all this is about. Like, we want to make sure everyone knows we're Christian here. That's what they want to do. By the way, there's a Bible verse that says when you pray, it in silence.
Yep.
No, doesn't matter. Again, this is Florida. This bill could be passed. I should say last year, a very similar bill was passed by the Florida House and it went to the state Senate and then COVID happened. And I think that's the reason this bill died.
Right.
But now they're trying it again. It looks like it's going to pass. It's totally unnecessary. Here's the thing, like, even though it's on the surface neutral, it would just create so many problems, and no one who's sponsoring it seems to care about those problems because you're just going to create reasons for lawsuits. Not for this bill, but for what's going to happen when you just allow... What happens when, like, a Muslim student's like, I wanted to speak, I wasn't allowed to, my school wouldn't let me. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a neutral ground. Like, it's just pointless for something that's not even a problem to begin with. But,
Right. Hey,
there's Florida Republicans for you.
Ay, ay, ay.
I have, I think, one... more that I just have to get to before I'm done with my list of stuff here, which is that in West Virginia, there is a YouTuber. His name is Owen. He goes by the username Telltale. He posted this week, and I found it interesting. His daughter goes to a public school in West Virginia, a middle school, and she recorded her health teacher in class, which always, like, you know, that's not going to be,
right,
because there's got to be a reason for that. And this is a health class. And the teacher basically said in a 3-minute clip that was posted online, she doesn't believe in same-sex relationships. She said, if you're brought up with morals and values, then God's going to be there to help you make better decisions. Speaking of gay people. Mm. She said that she, she kind of implied, like, I'm not supposed to be telling you this, but I'm gonna. Like, suggesting she knows she's not supposed to be doing this. She also, what was the other thing she said? God would help you make better decisions about how to handle your hormones. Basically, oh, and she also said, when should you have sex? Answer, after marriage. Mm-hmm. Like, all this stuff that you should not, cannot say in a public school classroom. She said it. The video was posted online. The audio, I should say, was posted online. It bleeped out the teacher's name because the goal here is not to harass the teacher. It's to get the school to do something about it. And the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent a letter to the superintendent of the schools with the audio saying this is absolutely crossing every line. Mm-hmm. The FFRF said this health teacher's religious screed is both shockingly unlawful and ethically impermissible. And the question is, like, this is caught on audio now.
Right.
How long has she been doing this and gotten away with it? Because students did not have the wherewithal to say, I know you shouldn't be doing this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to record you doing right. it. And I know who to give it to so this can get exposed and stopped. Not a lot of students know how to do all of that. And now it happened. We're waiting for a response. But the question is, like, how long has this teacher been using her... And a health school teacher.
Right.
Like a health class teacher. That's where the one place where religion really could make a big, bad difference. But she's been apparently doing this for who knows how long. Good for the student.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
That's really brave.
Yeah.
You said that's the end of your list?
I have more, but we'll see.
Okay. I would like to first talk. I actually wish I brought this up earlier because Senator Lindsey Graham... is real excited to remind us that he's homophobic as fuck. So we talked a little bit about, or did we?
Not Lady G.
I know. Can you believe it? So the Equality Act passed through Congress and now it has to pass through the Senate. And
passed through the House, yeah.
Yes, thank you. Essentially, so there's a reason that we all have been recently talking a lot about getting rid of the filibuster, and the problem is this. The Senate currently has a majority that we have 50 Democratic senators with, plus the vice presidency gives us a majority, but Lindsey Graham is real fucking mad about it, and he does not want this Equality Act to become law. So he said he wants to filibuster it, even though he does not have the majority. He thinks that his opinion is more important than the majority of voters. Which, fine, Lindsey, do what you need to do. He said that he will filibuster until I fell over to make sure the Equality Act doesn't become law, destroying the difference between men and women. What mm-hmm. does that? When you hear destroying the difference between men and women, what does that mean to you?
Just mass genocide everywhere.
Oh, shit. Okay. I was just thinking gender-neutral bathrooms, but...
Yeah, that's... And sports. Conservatives never cared about sports. They will just, like, make fun of the WNBA.
Uh-huh.
But when they saw it as a chance to, like, lash out against trans women... They're like, oh my God, we need to protect women's sports.
Yeah, they're always very concerned about like high school girls basketball championships or whatever.
Yeah. Like you'll never like suddenly Tucker Carlson, that's his I care about high school girls sports. That's my yeah. only thing that I care about now.
Which, meanwhile, I'm curious what they had to say about Title IX when it came out, which made sure that there were opportunities for female athletes. And
they're against the Equal Rights Amendment now.
Yeah, they're assholes.
Like, the one change to the filibuster Joe Manchin suggested he might be open to doing is like, okay, make them stand and talk. Don't just let them just sign a paper and say,
right.
I'm filibustering. And Lindsey Graham's like, I'm going to talk until I fall over. You know what? Good.
Talk until you die for all I care.
At least make them fall over.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Make them suffer for wanting to filibuster. Because, again, it's one thing when you're filibustering, like, civil rights legislation. But they're going to filibuster, like, what? Give people payments for things? Or name your cause? What? Gay people want to get married? Like, if Democrats are smart, they will start in the Senate, right, trying to pass very easy but controversial partisan legislation, mm-hmm, but really simple stuff that like everyone likes.
Yeah.
And you know, I think I heard
tempt him into it.
Adam Gentleson, who's been a big filibuster writer recently, and knows about this stuff, saying, forget the Infrastructure Act that I know Biden wants to pass and has the votes to pass. Don't do that. Send some easy stuff to the Senate and let Republicans filibuster it down so this becomes an issue now, mm-hmm, and force like Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema to stop being idiots about this. But like, unless the pressure is there, mm-hmm, like it's not going to happen. Remember, I was thinking about this, like when it came to marriage equality, first, there was obviously public support changed and became in favor of it. Then Joe Biden accidentally, I think, came out and said he supported it. Then shortly after, Barack Obama said, yeah, I'm fine with like marriage equality.
Right.
And then the Supreme Court said it was legal. Like, there's a lot of dominoes that had to fall, and it took way too long if you're waiting for that to happen. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that's happening is like, everyone knows the filibuster is an issue that needs to be dealt with. Democrats know that. Joe Biden, weirdly, knows that. And is like, again, I will be open about saying both of us did not support him in the primaries.
Uh-uh.
But man, he's been so much better than, yeah, I thought he was going to be. And on this issue, of like many others, like he knows the progressive position on this is the right one, mm-hmm, which is get rid of the filibuster. It's nothing but a thing to keep racist legislation intact.
Right.
And so he's like, no, we need to change it. Chuck Schumer is like, yeah, we need to change it. We will change it. Then they're like, how are you going to do it? And then he changes the subject. Like, he knows that it has to change. But the question is, how do you get the two idiot Democrats to do the same thing?
Right.
And the thing is, well, you show them, you give them clear evidence. Republicans are not your friends on anything.
Yeah.
They're going to vote down sensible things. You will not be able to pass anything. And you make it hurt, mm-hmm, for them, mm-hmm, and Democrats in general. And just get the public pressure going. And it looks like the pressure is coming.
Right.
Like, everyone knows that if you get to next year, this time next year, when campaigns start heating up, mm-hmm, and gerrymandering kicks into high gear for those state seats, and Congress could change hands, mm-hmm, and you got nothing to show for it, it's going to be too late.
Right.
It's not too late yet, but there's a limited window when you can get a ton of shit passed, and if the filibuster doesn't fall, like, good. I mean, Democrats need to realize that. So you know what? If you can change the rules a little bit to make Republicans have to stand and literally filibuster, mm-hmm, and Lindsey Graham falls over and, mm-hmm, Mitch McConnell's like, what? This is crazy. Good. Mm-hmm. Make them do it.
Mitch McConnell ends up on his back on his little shell and he can't get up. And he's like, help me. And everyone's laughing at him. Can I pitch a very funny comedy skit idea that I just came up with?
I'm listening.
Somebody re-edits Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Yes.
But instead of that big climactic scene where he's filibustering and sweating and it's so inspiring, he just like signs a sheet of paper that says he's going to filibuster and that's the end of the movie.
I think
that would be very funny if anyone wants to get
educational
at that.
Too, yes.
I'm going to give you all that idea for free. Get at me, SNL. Last thing I wanted to talk about today is I'm hoping that this ends up being kind of a nothing burger, but right now there's a bit of a trend. Have you heard the expression super straight?
I had not heard it until you like sent me a link about it.
Okay, so I had heard it kind of bopping around on a few like, you know, pro-inclusion groups that I'm in. Essentially, the long and short of it is a like a dog whistle-y kind of way to be transphobic. Essentially, some dude was really upset. Okay, so you know how for like, say, straight white guys, the worst thing that can happen to you is somebody calls you racist or transphobic or sexist? You know how nothing,
yes,
worse can happen to a human man? Well, this guy was real tired of saying that he was transphobic because he said he was straight and did not think that trans women were women. And it's very important to him that you know that he is not interested in dating trans women. Okay, Hemant? Just fucking let him tell you that.
How is he going to tell me that?
Well, he was really tired of being called transphobic because he was being transphobic. So he invented an expression called super straight. Now, he said, I'm just going to quote him. What is this stupid idiot's name? TikToker Kyle Royce. He said, quote, "I've made a new sexuality. Straight men get called transphobic because I wouldn't date a trans woman. Now I'm super straight. I only date the opposite gender, women that are born women. So you can't say I'm transphobic now because that's just my sexuality." And now they're doing this thing of like, oh, we need to add LGBTQ plus S because super straight is just as valid a sexual identity as being straight or bi or pansexual or what. Like, it's so dumb on its face because I don't, like, when a guy says, like, if a man says I'm gay, it generally means I prefer to date men. It doesn't mean I do not date women. Like, you don't identify your sexuality by exclusion. Or I don't, anyway. I don't say, oh, I don't date women. I say I generally date men, and I have not dated a woman. But it would just be, like, it's so dumb on its face, but of course it's picking up steam. He said that he never meant to be hateful toward anyone. But of course it's caught fire on, like, 4chan. It's just, and so now they're, like, trying to make it spread. They're saying that you're only, like, they have a Twitter handle, supa_straight, STR8. So, slim pickings on the Twitter handle market, I guess. But he said, do you know super straight women are murdered at an, somebody said that. That's a goof. Anyway, it's very dumb. And it's just literally made to exclude trans people.
What's the next step here where they're like, I only date this color women and between these heights, and I exclude everyone else because I'm super, I don't know, boring?
What? Yeah, it's so, like, if I said, I date men, I do not date black men, you would rightly call me a racist, because that is a racist thing to say, because I am excluding an entire group of people from a potential mate or friend or whatever just because of the color of their skin. Now, similarly, if I said I only date men versus I do not date trans men, that is excluding trans people, and it's fucked up. And honestly, is it that big an issue in your life that you're constantly talking about how you would never date a trans person, so much so that you've been called transphobic, so much so that you had to invent a sexuality? I have an idea. Maybe just date the people you want to date and don't make lists of people you would never date. It's just, have you ever seen, like, Tinder profiles of, like, some, like, fucking nothing burger of a human dude who's like, no single mothers, no fatties, no poor people, must have a job. And, like, I am rightly going to call you a dick because that's a shitty thing to say. You won't date somebody because they're slightly overweight. Like, go fuck yourself. And you're going to have to, because nobody's going to want to date you. Anyway, that's all I had.
Great.
Yeah. Makes you proud to be a straight person, huh, Hammett?
So
we're really contributing a lot to the world lately. I think there's no problems from here on out for the straight cisettes.
We all have our flaws. Hey, where do we find you?
Oh, goodness. You can find me on Twitter at Jess Blumke. My Etsy shop is Bitches Get Stitch Done. You can also tune into Cooper Duper Podcast, which is a show I do with my husband about Twin Peaks. Also, in 40 minutes, I am going to be guesting on an episode of God Awful Movies, which is a podcast that they make fun of bad Christian movies. And boy, oh boy, this one was a doozy. I'm very excited.
What did you watch?
We watched a movie called The God Question. And I'm going to tell you right now, Hammond, I watched it twice, and I do not know what the plot was. So it's free on Amazon Prime if you want to watch it. It is obviously less than 90 minutes. So
I could guess the plot.
Tell me.
Something come to Jesus.
No, it's about a supercomputer that they're trying to get to solve the question of whether or not God exists. And then for an hour and 15 minutes, nothing happens. So that should be, like I said, I haven't recorded it. I think it should be out next week-ish as you're listening to this. So, where can we find you, Hemant?
I am at friendlyatheist.com. Go to YouTube, search Friendly Atheist if you want. Go to patreon.com/friendlyatheistpodcast to support the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm officially fully vaccinated. Thank you. I'm very brave. And I'm going up to visit my folks for the first time in quite some time. And I am going to be recording an interview with my dad, who is your classic straight white guy boomer. About how he went from a Republican in the Obama years to a Democrat in the Trump and post-Trump years, and kind of about sort of the culture surrounding old white guys, I guess. So I'm excited about that. If you have any questions or anything that you want to get at us, I'm going to be doing it Saturday afternoon probably, so you can just tweet at me before then. And that's all I have.
We'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.